This is Radical Love Live, an ongoing series of podcasts and special events where we explore faith outside the boxes. Hosted by Mark Dilcom and Kelly Wilson.
Hi, this is Kelly, and welcome to Radical Love Live. I'm flying solo today. Mark is traveling, so I am in the studio by myself today, but I will try my best to keep it interesting. Today, what I'm talking about is I'm looking at an article on the Associated Press News. It's called Wave of Anti-Transgender Bills in Republican-Led States Divides U.S. Faith Leaders. And not necessarily that the world needs another cishet man talking about transgender issues, but in a sense, I feel like this is a cishet problem because the people who are pushing these bills are people who, by and large, may never have even met anyone who is transgender, let alone have a great understanding of what it means to be transgender. In some sense, I understand what their thinking is. This is where sometimes my wife will come to me and she's, what are they thinking? And coming up from the background that I did in evangelical church and other churches, I often can come up with it. I'm like, they're thinking this and this and this and this. She's shaking her head. She's no, yeah, I just wanted you to, it was really just rhetorical, but I get the thinking. As I look through the article, I see that there's a quote from the president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary who says that gender transition is a blatant attempt to undermine the very order of creation. And then goes on to say, the Bible reveals that any attempt to subvert creation ends in disaster, not in human liberation. In response to that, I talked with Serene Jones, who's the president of Union Theological in New York City. She says, as a Christian leader, it's horrifying to me that Christianity and the Bible are being used by the religious right to bludgeon people through many of these bills. To use religious language like that is an abomination. They're threatening the lives and well-being of so many people around the U.S. and the world. And then she goes on to say, it wasn't something that the Bible even thought about. The larger message there is a message of love and inclusion. And I tend to identify more with what Serene Jones is saying here than what Moeller, the one from the Southern Baptist Convention, talks about. Although, as I said, I do get it. The looking at the Bible and saying God created man and woman and that's it. But there's a couple of different fallacies in that. One is that Genesis isn't a science textbook. There are a lot of things in there, like the fact that light exists before there's a sun and moon and stars, and that the earth is said to be built on pillars, and things like that that make it clear that there's a lot of symbolism going on in Genesis, and that we're not really supposed to read it like a science textbook. But then there's also the evidence looking around the world at us that you can't make transgender people go away with the swipe of a governor's pen. Transgender people have been here for millennia through different civilizations. The governor of Florida was quoted as saying, what, we just started doing this about 2 weeks ago? But even if you go on Wikipedia and look up the history of transgender people in the United States, that it goes all the way back to the 1700s. Apparently in the 50s and 60s, when a lot of these politicians were growing up, it was not a very inviting time for people who felt discord between their gender identity and their bodies to come out. And in a lot of these communities, they probably weren't talking about it. So it makes sense that they're, to them, it's a surprise, but transgender people have been around for a long time and they're here now. Just making gender-affirming care illegal doesn't mean that parents can go home and say, okay, to their transgender kid and say, you're not. And that just fixes the issue. It didn't work with sexual orientation and it's not going to work with gender identity. If we look scientifically, it's hard to quantify exactly how many people in the world are transgender, but if we just look at people who are intersex, people who their physical makeup makes it difficult to identify them strictly as man or woman, that if we put all those people together into one country, it would have a greater population than the states of California and Texas put together. We're talking about millions of people. And that's just intersex. That's not getting into people with different balances of hormones, and it's not getting into people's mental states and emotional states and how they feel about themselves. So this number is probably much, much bigger than that when we take into account all of the people who are transgender. And even then, it's probably underreported because it's a dangerous world for transgender people. There are probably still a lot of people who haven't come out. So we need to look at that reality when we're measuring it against a standard like the Bible and saying the Bible says that it's only this way. But if we look at the world around us, we have to actually trust our senses and say, God's creation has more variety in it than this very symbolic book says that it does. And even within the Bible, there are different looks at gender expression. In Genesis, it says that God created humans in his image and then goes on to say male and female, he created them, which to me implies that there are male and female aspects to God. And this, there's been some discussion about this lately in churches about changing pronouns for God, and that people have been losing their minds over this as well. But the Bible does talk about God in terms of, in female terms. It uses a metaphor of the mother hen brooding over her children. And there is a maternal aspect to God. And then when we talk about really addressing gender issues on the ground, there's not a lot of examples, but Jesus makes a point of saying, of defending eunuchs in his time. He says there are some eunuchs that are created, some that are made, and some that are eunuchs for God's sake. And he's defending those people from criticism. In the book of Acts, one of the very first Christians who's ministered to is the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip shows up is transported to where this eunuch is, who's curious about the Bible, and teaches him about the Bible. And he doesn't take time to say, by the way, you should really be in a more manly gender role. He just teaches him about Jesus and then is transported back away. His job is done. I'll talk about mixing up conceptions of gender. If you go all the way to the book of Revelation, to the marriage feast of the Lamb, the church is actually represented as a woman. And that means all of us, including men who are in the church, are represented as a woman who will marry Christ in the end. And this is a point where I'm sure that a lot of people who have a more literal view of the Bible will come to me and say, that's clearly symbolic. So when it gets uncomfortable, then it's symbolic. If it's not uncomfortable, then it's literal. But I say all this just to say that it's not as clear cut as creation is created one way and we're going against it. In fact, if we look around, we have to admit that we are part of creation, and what humans are doing is part of creation. And the fact that transgender people exist means that they are part of creation. I've heard the criticism of transgender people that says God doesn't make mistakes. I don't think God does make mistakes. What I do think that God makes is a variety of people, with variety of people with different orientations, with different gender expressions, that there's this kind of huge variety. If we look out at creation all over the world, we look at the huge biodiversity, the plant life and fish and all these different animals that we're still discovering, that creation is this sort of, it's outlandish. There's a lot of creation that doesn't seem to have any particular purpose other than to be beautiful and wild and wonderful. And we don't have any reason to think that human creation is any different than that, that there's a wide variety of us. And I wish that some of the people who are trying to shut down gender affirming care would approach with a sense of wonder and a sense of curiosity and ask questions, meet people who are transgender, hear their stories, understand what the emotions and the history and the psychology behind it is before jumping to conclusions based on assumptions that are trying to protect some kind of orthodoxy, but are actually creating problems for families and really are limiting their freedoms. So see, these are some of the same people that like to wave the Constitution around and say, look, we need to protect our freedoms, but then are telling families how to raise their children and how to medically treat their children when every medical authority, major medical authority in the US, recommends gender-affirming care for kids who are transgender. I really wish that people would approach with a little bit more humility and have a dialogue rather than just shut things off. But I think that particularly in the Republican Party, that that transgender people have become a target for the upcoming election, that they found an enemy to fight. And it's going to be a really dangerous and scary time for people who are transgender. And I keep all of you in my prayers, because it is going to be a really tough time. And I hope that the American imagination turns a little bit and that it can expand to be more inclusive. But for now, everybody, please take care of yourselves and let your vote show how you feel. Thank you. I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Radical Love Live, co-hosted by Mark Dilcom and Kelly Wilson. All rights reserved. You can find our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, and other popular podcast platforms. Go to radicallovelive.com to learn more about us, watch recordings of our live events, and listen to our podcast. We also invite you to check out what Kelly and Mark are doing by going to our websites. Find Kelly at kellywilson.com and Mark at markdilcom.com. This is Radical Love Live, where we explore faith outside the boxes.